Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Get you on the radio, yeah, you gotta get on the radio. If the kids can only hear you, they go out of control. You gotta get on the radio. You want the money and the fame and the sold out shows, and you gotta get
you on gotta get on the radio. Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I've got on the phone here one of my buddies, Nathan from Bloom Pest Control. Welcome back to Around the House, brother.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'm in my remote office or my, definitionally in my van.
Yeah.
With you.
There we go, man. It's awesome when I can say, hey, man, can you pull over and talk for a few minutes? And that's exactly how we're doing this. So we had a lot of questions that came up on Facebook this week because I posed the question earlier this week that was like, all right, we're coming into spring. We got so many crazy things happening right now with the with springtime coming out, people being home more. And I said, what questions do you have out there? And we got a handful of them that came in, and they're all pretty good ones. So you ready to take a few questions?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see how we do here.
All right. Eric? Yep, exactly. Teamwork makes for dream work. All right. All right. So my friend Rachel here, moles are taking over my yard. What can be done about them? We don't have a sprinkler system, luckily, but can they cause foundation damage? I love Rachel. She's great. But that's always one of those questions. People see those little buggers. You know, if you ever watch Caddyshack, you know, the gophers and mole problems you get out there. Gophers make a little bit bigger hole than the moles do, but they all ruin a really nice yard. What's your take on it?
Well, one of the ways you can keep moles from getting in your yard is just don't take care of it.
So true.
Make sure. Yeah. Unfortunately, the blessing that comes in having a beautiful yard is you do attract moles. I almost said mold. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I know it. It's what we do every day.
Yeah. But seriously, I've been out in the industry for quite some time. I've seen very few moles make it into the crawl space. We do a lot of crawl space inspections. Mm-hmm. Usually it's on a more shallower foundation. I have not ever seen a mole population compromise a foundation. It's typically would be the compression of the earth below the foundation that could cause a structural issue. So my opinion, it is a really good question because I've always wondered too, but by virtue of being out there, probably 10,000 homes being in crawl spaces, I've never seen any incidents where moles have been able to go so far as to undermine a foundation and cause the house to have some structural issues.
You know, I've seen structural issues be caused by actually, if you have clay soil, I've seen more structural conditions, you know, with cracks in the foundation caused by people not watering their yards in clay soil in the summertime here in the Portland area, for instance. Because what happens is I've seen it where, and I've had structural engineers go, man, if you just watered your lawn, you'd be better off. Here's what happens is you get that clay soil that expands out like a sponge. And then when we get into the summer months where we don't get a lot of rain, it dries up like the dried up sponge does and shrinks up and you get those cracks in the soil. Well, what happens is if you've got a little crack in the foundation, maybe around a vent cover or one of those things, now you're flexing that foundation by the expansion and contraction. Whereas if you had a sprinkler system and kept that somewhat hydrated, the soil below the house wouldn't move in the same rate as if you were running a sprinkler.
Yeah, I have a real life example of that. We went out to take a look at a house, and literally it looked like the house was folding in on itself at the back of the home.
Wow.
And they were asking if we had did anything about that, could do anything about that as a company. I was like, no, not quite that, because we don't do structural foundation repair work. We're actually called out there. We did have a good recommendation for the folks. She did was able to save her house. And that was exactly what had happened there, because it was a dry part of the season. It just decided to go at that point. The house had been there for like 30 years. And it was just last year that because it was extraordinarily dry at that location at that time, it actually did exactly what you described. And I guess the benefit of watering your yard and having moles, you can avoid foundation issues.
Exactly. Yeah. So
is that the end of the tale of the story?
Kind of the tale. Here's the funny part of that is that you're right. And I would just talk your neighbor into creating a better, well cared for lawn than yours. And the moles will work their way out of there. Otherwise, you're calling one of those companies out there that are like the mole trappers, the mole gassers, the mole, you know, that because you guys don't deal with moles really, do you? You guys aren't the mole experts tracking them down.
Not really. And we made a purposeful choice on that because generally people are dissatisfied with the results because there's always another mole waiting to move in.
Oh yeah.
And to get out there costs our clients money. And the end result, the reason why we just try to figure out ways not to have them in the yard, which the only way I came up with, sarcastically speaking, is to, you know,
not take care of it.
I know that it probably doesn't fit well because we all want our yards to look beautiful, but otherwise you'll probably just have to deal with them, you know,
exactly.
in regards to that.
Just keep throwing that fertilizer, that organic fertilizer over your neighbor's fence, you know, pre-seed some grubs over there for them to make sure they've got them and get them over to your favorite neighbor.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, I think a mole has a territory of about, I thought it was like close to half an acre.
Wow. Okay.
And there, one mole.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And sometimes you think you have 20, but you really just have one. And then once you get that one, which is the alpha mole, technically in the world of moles, then you, once you get rid of that one, then the other ones are like, right on, it's time for us to move in. So,
That's crazy. Yeah. All right. Our next question from Carrie came in. What is the best way to remove anthills in your flower beds that is dog safe? And then the follow-up question is going to be about hornet and wasp treatments, but, let's tackle the anthill.
The anthill. Yes. Well, in pest control, we have, you know, there's three different main methods of controlling insects or let's call it pests like rodents and so forth, mechanical, biological, and chemical. Mechanically, although it sounds kind of scary, you can potentially uproot that nest. Typically in the Northwest, we're dealing with soil ants and or odorous house ants, which is a category of soil ants that'd be living in the ground. You can uproot them. You can just make the environment less attractive for them. So I don't know how deep you want to get into it as digging up an anthill, because some of the ants do bite, even though it's not very painful from my experience, but that is just a judgment that I have towards them. You never know.
Yeah, I've been bit a lot. That sounds a little dangerous to me, especially if we've got somebody listening to the podcast down in the South someplace where they've got fire ants and they make a really, you know, some of those deadly ants that actually can come in and attack you. So I don't want to go too far into that. That might be best left for the professionals like you guys, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I understand. I didn't think about that, Eric. That's a real good point.
I'm like, they were red and they were everywhere, and it was a 5-foot high pile in the backyard. I decided to dig it up. Yeah, bad idea.
Now the truth behind it, all these insects are good for our environment. What I think we're trying to avoid is getting them in our houses. You know, we don't want people or insects living in our houses rent free unless they're relatives, you know?
Yeah.
We're just looking at a way. If they'll do their thing in the garden, they clean up the garden. They take care of, they're omnivores. So they take care of dead leaves or vegetation and other insects. So they're not terribly bad. They're just sometimes unsightly and disturbing when you see 100 of them, 100,000 of them bursting out of a pile in the ground. But they typically will go away. Just trying to keep them away from the house is the main goal.
No kidding, because they're always coming in that kitchen. They're getting into the any place where there's food, and especially if you've got just a around the dishwasher. If you've got a kind of a unsightly dishwasher, they'll tend to go get in there. I've seen them everywhere in the kitchen, but pet food, all those things.
You know, they're going to be around as long as we're going to be around, and having a conducive in conditions. There are certain types of flowers that produce honeydew, with aphids, and that's attractive to especially the odorous house ant. Maybe planting those flowers a little bit further away from the edge of the home and let them do their thing, if you're not trying to utilize a chemical control method. And you may be able to make it through another season. Yeah, but I get it. I don't like them bursting out by my house or in the flower beds where I live.
No,
yeah.
And if you're trying to get them out of the flower bed, maybe either digging them up or just using some of the bait type material that your pets are going to get into might be the only other way to do it.
Yeah, the actual granular baits are fairly safe. I know that my dog, who I call him the world's smartest, dumbest dog. Well, the minute I put something down on the ground, he thinks it's food. So I've had him consume it, but the only thing he does is, get it between his teeth, So there are some safe methods where safer, can't say safe nowadays,
perfectly safe. Absolutely.
Nothing. Yeah. But you can go ahead and utilize something like that to start to apply a control on them or direct them in another place, like your neighbor's house.
Nice.
I think it's a theme right now. Get on out of here.
Yeah. Well, it's you know the difference between in-laws and outlaws, right?
Uh-oh, no.
Uh-oh, yep. Outlaws are wanted.
You gotta stop.
I know.
It's so good. So my teenage daughter would call that a dad joke, by the way.
It is. It's a full-on dad joke. So,
yeah, it's good.
That's Julie's good daughter got me a shirt a couple years ago that says dad jokes are rad jokes. And so I like dropping those in every once in a while. So here's the second part of her question is what are the best hornet and wasp treatments? Jason was attacked by paper wasps last year, and she's already been hit twice by hornets this week alone.
So. Yeah, I would actually say that almost fit a category of a DIY, unless you're a DIYer that likes to possibly get stung. I don't have a really good method of getting rid of nests. I do know that the wasp traps and hornet traps that you can pick out at your local hardware store, a lot of them work really well when they're in the height of the season to keep those hornets or wasps from your hot dogs and hamburgers, in the peak of the season when it's nice and warm. But otherwise, it's almost like you have to go in and exterminate those.
Yeah, you've got to literally go hunting. You're right. The best thing you could do would be to put the hornet traps and wasp traps up and just see what you get. But, right now is not prime time trapping season, as you know.
Yeah, you have to almost get it warmer. It's typically they start to work a lot better in the warmer parts of the summer here in the Northwest. I don't know how far your podcast goes out, but that's usually July, August is when it starts getting a little kooky and crazy.
It goes all over the country, but I'll tell you what, I've noticed that, again, it's depending on who you're, I guess different parts of the country, as you know, have different types. And so what I've run into is that, that the rescue trap works good over here, but then the tarot trap works well over here. And, it's very regional, because I've seen some really big debates on what works and what doesn't. And I'll try something that works perfectly here in the Portland metro area, and then my friend or a family member buys it in Eastern Washington, and they're like, man, that didn't work at all. So it's just depending on the species that you're dealing with. But that's maybe where you go into your local home improvement store that's your local non-big box store and start talking to their garden expert and see what they've got on the shelf that is the most popular and track it down that way.
Absolutely. I mean, for every wasp, it seems like there's 10 types of designs for our hornets. There's 10 different designs for a trap that will capture them. And I know that one year, one particular trap we were recommending was working really well, and then the next year it didn't work so well. And so it looked like as if we're not just trying to recommend just something, but it does change.
It does.
Over it.
It does.
It's really weird.
It's interesting. You know, what I think works, you know, so I'm going to go back to my old traps here because we moved, of course, as you know, and, you know, I've got so much forest around here. I was out putting up fence yesterday and I was fighting that and I was noticing that I had, you know, a couple things. One, I had some honeybees floating around. So I'm like, awesome. Love honeybees. Those are cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm good. It's just when we get those wasp hornets and yellow jackets out there. And so, you know, that's, I'm going to try my traps that I used at my old house last year and see what comes up here. But I had you probably know they're the little tiny, are those paper wasps or what are those little tiny ones that are the very tiny, almost a little bit bigger than a fly, but they're some kind of wasp or hornet.
I think I know. Are they black in color? Is that yes. What you're describing?
Yeah, they're kind of that.
They're like a wasp, but they're. I don't know the exact name of them.
Yeah.
But they're a wasp as opposed to a hornet, and we can, you know, that's some nerd stuff to get into.
Yeah, no, that's bad radio. And I don't want to get into the nerd stuff. So
yeah, debatable, but yeah, they're all kind of like hunters.
Yeah.
You know, the wasps are all hunter type insects. They being one of them. I've run into them before. I've never ever had an interaction with them that has left me with a sting, but
they're aggressive. I've had some bad experiences with those.
Yeah.
Well, I see them more.
Maybe I just got lucky.
Yeah. I see them more in forested areas. Like they will be in the top. My experience with them is that I've seen them in the top of like a broken off tree that's dying back. And they'll build a big nest up at the top of that tree up there, and they'll just hide out, and then they go hunting from there. So I've had my first experience, it was probably 15 years ago, I was cutting a tree down. I think I told you this story, but I was cutting a tree, dead tree down in my backyard. And as the tree started falling, it was like a cartoon. I saw the swarm come out the tip of this tree 40 feet in the air. And man, I could not have hit off on that chainsaw quick enough and went running for the house because I knew it was coming. And I got away with it, but whoo, buddy, they were bouncing off the back sliding glass door as I got in the house and had one follow me in the house, but that's all it was. And whoo, I don't think I've ran that fast in a long time. So,
yeah, and we try not to, right? You know,
yeah, absolutely. So what do you think, you know, what are some of the best things for that stuff? If you're dealing with those, just the traps and just try to keep, you know, stuff that, you know, I like Mike Sapel he's one of our constant followers and kind of leaders in our little community here. He made a comment on that as well as what's the best pest control for yards? It's safe for the environment, house animals, and of course bees. And I know you can't just go out and nuke things because then you kill everything, right?
Yeah. That's a good point. It's not this blatant, you know, blast the whole property. And good pest control is having a targeted approach that targets the pests that you're trying to eliminate and reduces almost to zero the side effects of that for non-targeted insects. So for yellow jackets and the aggressive insects, stinging insects, it's best to take a targeted approach. I know that people may want to try to defer having somebody come in there, but and just in this case, not that we're promoting pest control because I'm a pest control business owner and have done it for years, but this is one of those things where it's like sometimes you need a suit, you need to get in there, you need to knock them down with a non-residual pyrethrin or a product such as that and get rid of that nest and remove that nest, and then you're good to go. It's just the one thing. You know, Eric is like, what do you do, right? You know, you can fix your transmission, you know, put in some goop in the transmission, keep it quiet for a while, but sometimes it just requires a rebuild, you know?
Yeah. You know, there's, you know, the mechanic in a can doesn't always work well for you. It might fix a problem in the short term, but it's still not going to fix that 300,000 mile engine or transmission that you're trying to figure out. So,
yeah. I mean, I had a couple of yellow jacket nests on my property and I could have went out there and took care of them. But I made note of it and I stayed away from it just because they weren't causing any problems for me. It's usually when those nests start causing problems, that those nesting sites, and you're getting in the way of the nest traffic back and forth. That's when they start getting agitated and they want to take you out.
Well, yeah, it's just like me right now. I've been working in the front yard out there in that kind of almost quarter acre of my front yard that was forest and cleaning that out. And, you know, I saw a cool little garden snake that that was cruising through, and I let him have his space just to kind of move on. But I noticed on one of the warmer days out there, I was getting into some of those smaller, wasps and hornets and stuff floating around there. And I'm like, you know, I think I'm going to leave the rest of this project to when it's cool outside, and then I can come explore a little bit later and see if I've got any issues later on. No sense getting them when it's warm out.
Yeah. They get real active, and they really like you.
They do. Well, cool, man. I know right now that people are kind of getting into their spring stuff, and I wanted, before we go, to talk real quick about crawl spaces, because you guys deal so much with that with your crawl space division. I just wanted to touch base on that real quick. If you've got that nasty, you know, rodent-filled crawl space, you're breathing that stuff, and you guys are the guys to be the one-stop shop to go in there and fix it.
Yeah, and we're heading into that. Actually, some of the I think maybe the elephant in the room is the we're talking about maybe the coronavirus. What Bloom has done in efforts to comply with state regulations here in Oregon is that we've actually developed a protocol that will keep our family at Bloom safe and the families that we work in their homes and individuals to do that, and we are still doing that to this day. And because pest control and sanitation, which is part of that, and water, we actually are an essential, radio is an essential business. So
nice.
Proud to say that, proud to be able to still do that. I know that there's a joke going around on the internet that says essential is really another way of saying sacrificial, but we don't feel that way. We love doing what we do.
Well, you guys are always the king of safety anyway, so you're already wearing a lot of that stuff when you're spraying chemicals and things like that, so it's not that much of a stretch to be going a little bit farther to work with all that, really.
Yeah, for us, it was just a small step because we have to deal with it on a daily basis. We have obviously a certified respirator program at Bloom that is, OSHA certified and all that. So we're about that business, of taking care of the problem while taking care of ourselves, keeping everybody healthy in the process.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, hey, I know you got to get out to appointments today that you're literally pulled over the side of the road. So let's keep you back out in the field. I don't want you being late or missing appointments, or you can just turn around and go, oh, it was Eric G that caused that. That's why I'm late today. So I don't want to do that.
No. Yeah. Well, that's a good reason. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Eric. We appreciate what you do.
Hey, man.
I like your approach and thank you for allowing us to have time on the air with you just to talk about these things. Two experienced guys, two funny guys, maybe, depends on how people see us. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, thanks for coming on the show. And I really appreciate your support of Around the House, as well as, sponsors like you guys keep us on the air and keep us going. So there's nothing more than we can say than we appreciate the support. And we'll talk to you probably next month. Sound good?
Right on. Thank you, bud.
Hey, have a great day, brother.
You too.
Thanks for listening to Around the House with Eric G. This was our midweek special. Thanks for listening. For more information about Bloom Pest Control, you can catch them at bloompestcontrol.com. That is bloompestcontrol.com. Thanks for listening to Around the House. Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's millboard.com.